Janet for your morning. Yes, Laska. Honey, I know you did. I wish y'all could see Laska enjoying that. Like, that was truly beautiful.
For the people who do not know, Janis Joplin is my favorite person of all time. Of all time.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
It's a very unhealthy love relationship I have.
I don't know if it's unhealthy, you know? Like, you said you needed to be uplifted. I said Janis and your whole body changed, you know? And I think that that's positive. That's amazing. Welcome, everybody else. This is the Black Boy Collective presents Justice and Juice. Yes, I love that we have the Wiz doing juice now.
Yes, Wiz.
I am Casey. I am still, my voice is still like threatening to leave me. Like, I just got it back and then I did a weekend of shows and then like now it wants to leave again. But we're working on it. I am.
No, it's your rapper voice.
Is this my rapper voice?
Yeah.
Cool. I gave myself a rapper name the other day. Oh, my rap name is Lil Natty. Like with a K. Like with a, it's like K. Like oh. A gnat.
Wow, that's clever. Yeah.
Wait, like a gnat is with a G.
Oh shit. You're right.
I think gnats are gnats.
They are gnats. Wait, what has a K? Is that not even a thing?
No, it is
a
thing.
K and knife.
It's a thing. Like
no, like I mean like gnat. Is nothing spelled like K-N-A-T? Is that like not even a word? Because I kind of like it as my rap name even more.
Like to know, right?
No, I'm saying as Nat, Laska. I know other words have K's and N's.
Well, I don't know what we were doing here. I thought this was like an episode of Sesame Street. I have no fucking like.
If you look it up, yes. What happened?
Okay, there's. People ask, is Kanat a real word? No, it is not in the Scrabble dictionary. However, there is a Merriam-Webster dictionary thing that says Nat is an archaic version of Gnat. So I don't know if archaic meaning like it's a misspelling. Is that what they mean by archaic of the word Nat? So
if it's archaic, that means it's
old.
Like it means it's old and it's fucking it's valid. Period.
Yeah. And it was it like works. The first spelling probably of
don't
Nat.
Come for us. Where did that damn, out there.
Where did the G come from? Like what language did that come from?
That was somebody who was from our country who wants to fuck all the words up.
Our country, we didn't put random G's. That was something
okay,
like
okay, but
that was like Czechoslovakian or something.
Our
that
words
was something,
don't make sense here.
No, our words don't make sense because we steal things from other languages and we like bastardize them. And then we like forget to change certain things. Like somebody right. came over here and spelled Nat with a G and we were like, okay, yeah, that forever now. Like what? Like, why did we do that? That's so weird. Anyway, America's weird. And we only made English weirder.
I want a t-shirt that says that. America is weird. The end. Period. Period.
Yeah, actually, that's a great t-shirt.
It is. I would wear it because it's true.
I would too. We should put that in our store. what was I going to say just now? Oh, wait,
can I address the elephant in the room?
Which is what?
Is there an elephant in the room?
There's no page.
Well, yeah.
Dang, I feel like an asshole because we were like, what?
Well, we're going to get to that, I'm assuming.
Paige, you're being dragged early by us just not even acknowledging early. That you're not here. I haven't even Whatever. Gotten to what I'm drinking, though, to be fair. Like, this has been a very...
We usually...
You have two air signs hosting this show today. It's, like, gonna be, like...
We're missing our earth sign who keeps us.
We truly are. Wait, what's Zach? What sign? What is
He's a fire sign.
Oh.
I'm an Aries.
Oh. He's an Aries.
Yeah, fire sign. So the air is just going to spread the fire. It's like not, he's just we have problems. No he's containment.
Already, he's already causing the drama right now.
Right, like, exactly.
Trying to start shit. Stop trying to start shit. We love Paige.
Okay, I'm going to try to focus.
What?
That's the energy today, you guys. This is what you're in for. We are missing Paige, and what you're experiencing right now is what that's like. And so now you know.
You know when like TV shows submit that. Episodes for like the Emmys? This would not be the episode you would submit for the Emmys.
No, this will not be. Paige, we clearly miss you. We clearly need you. We've made it nowhere in 5 whole minutes. So with that, I'm going to say what I'm drinking. I am drinking coffee. Oh, it's my usual trifecta today, actually. It's coffee, a smoothie, and water. Boom.
Boom.
Laska Music, what you drinking?
Laska Music. You're the only person who calls me that. Also. Laska here, activist artist. What? Oh, God. This is what happens. This is what happens. Now Paige, we're all fucked up. Paige fucked the balance is off.
Like, it's very
I can't even talk.
It's this chaotic nothing. Today.
Activist, artist, asshole. I'm drinking a...
Sorry, my mouth was full. I totally would have said asshole.
Yes, waiting for it. The smoothie as well. So from the smoothie game.
Smoothie train.
And a water. With my BCAs.
It's only halfway full, though. Is that because you drank the rest?
Yes, I did.
Nice.
I had to finish it. It's got my BCAs in it.
Good for
Wizard,
you.
Wizard, what are you drinking?
What's up, y'all? I was very lucky. My wife took a little errand to do something for herself, and then I made it about me, and she was able to get me a coffee from Starbucks, and so I'm drinking a freshly brewed cup of Pike Place, which I love.
You know, it surprises me that you like Starbucks.
Well, a little fun fact, I am from Seattle, okay, which is the home of Starbucks, and family friend of the CEO of Starbucks.
Ooh. Great.
I've known them forever when he was just a young.
It still surprises me that you like their coffee. I'm not even talking about the company. I mean, it surprises me that you
like their.
Oh,
I thought
you
were kind of.
No, I actually wasn't getting political yet. I was genuinely talking about the coffee because I feel like I've had better coffee at your house that you've made yourself.
Well, you know what I've made you?
What?
Starbucks coffee.
Really? Why does yours taste so much better?
Because the way that the machine is making you your coffee, it's actually making the ground into like an espresso shot versus a traditional drip shot. And you're getting a lot more because I do the strongest setting. So you're getting a really strong cup of coffee that way.
Can you tell your friend how to make the coffee? Just be like, this is how I made your coffee better.
overusing beans probably isn't the most cost-effective thing for their business model.
It's like
for
an episode of Jerry Springer.
This is?
You are not the coffee maker.
Casey, I will make you coffee forever. Just let me know and I'll bring it to you.
Okay, but don't make me coffee because that machine scares me and it tried to kill me last time I was there. And
look, oh my God, when it steamed up. It
but
you out.
Really liked that coffee. I've never been so nervous watching somebody drink a cup of coffee because what Alaska doesn't need, you guys, is coffee. And so that's having like the most amazing strong coffee from Zach, I was like, I don't know what's going to happen on the other end of this cup.
We had a really great How You Feel Friday, though.
We did. Ugh. I miss How You Feel Fridays.
You walked down the street, looked at some flowers.
I did.
Waved at some
people.
Can
we all hang out again soon? Can we? This movie is like taking up my.
I know. Life. Are you done by August or no?
August 15th. So technically, yes. But yeah, we still got lots.
I'm still going to try to organize something for us because you guys, Blackboard's birthday is August 2nd.
Oh, so, is that a Monday?
Yeah,
that's a Monday.
Is it?
Monday. Yeah, I don't shoot Monday. I mean, I'll be exhausted.
Can we hold off though? I won't be here.
Wait, when are you back?
The 4th.
Okay.
Well, that's better for me too. Maybe middle of the week.
Yeah. Maybe let's see. I'm going to organize something and I'm like, whoever can come. But we need to like celebrate our birthday.
Like all the listeners that are now invited to this party.
Yeah. You guys come out. Again, we've made it another 5 minutes without accomplishing very much.
Wait, can I say one more thing? I feel like our rambling of this episode feels very talk radio and maybe we're missing our real like place.
Calling.
Like, podcasts are great and all, but maybe we should be like more live.
I mean, don't deny the gift, right?
We should
so
be talk
I'm
radio.
Just saying that. And that's, and that's not like I'm saying Paige, you as well, of course, but like I'm saying, our show maybe is a great morning show.
Our show is a great morning show, I think. I have had people text me after listening to our show in the morning and be like, I find you guys so fun to hang out with.
It is. I can actually, sometimes I listen to this while I do my cardio in the mornings. It's nice.
Yeah.
It actually keeps me going longer than like if I was like listening to music. Sometimes I'm like, oh, fuck this. And then music can fuck your entire vibe up when you're doing cardio, but this is fairly consistent. So you're like, oh, and then you're engaged and you're paying attention to something else.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm interested to listen to this episode after it happens and see how it feels. Black business. Do you have it? You don't have it? You asked me about it.
I can
Paige,
pull up.
Paige, come back.
Paige, what's the black business?
It's Bloom and Plume.
Anyway, Paige?
It's Paige, definitely Bloom and Plume, you guys. And we've told you about it a million times at this point. But it is cute. And it's got flowers. And it's got coffee.
Got coffee.
And it's in L.A. And I hear, like, it's painted super cute and colorful.
It is. And the owner does flowers for Beyonce. Hello.
And once again, like, what else do we need to say? What else can be said?
Well, what else we can say is where it is.
Uh-huh. Which is?
Which is, hold, please.
I thought you had it ready.
Talk. I was
you
so
like,
ready.
You, like, stopped me
so
from
ready.
Riffing.
Listen.
I was riffing so you could get ready, and then you, like, stopped my flow, like, as if you were ready.
Listen, it's 1640 West Temple Street, Los Angeles, California. 90026.
Is that downtown?
It is downtown, Monday through Sunday, 8 to 3 p.m. Go get you a cup of joe, go get you a bouquet of flowers, live your beautiful life at this beautiful place.
That's really cute. I really do want to get coffee there. We should do that when you're back.
We keep saying that, and we need to do it.
I know.
For real.
I know, we do. You've not been...
We just need a moment. Everyone's been busy, but we're going to find a moment and do it.
We are. We're going to find a moment in time. I don't...
Yeah. That's exactly what it is. That's exactly what's going to happen.
Great. So, what are we discussing today?
Oh my god, not great. Okay,
we're Scottish. Last
I think
you gotta just
we are definitely Scottish. Everybody needs to know.
Everyone does need to
before
know.
We go off on 500 different tangents, let's jump in and dive into Simone Biles.
Yes.
Because I think this is like plastered everywhere right now, and maybe we want to get into that.
Yeah.
I say, like, yes, sis.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely. Like,
high five. Let's do a secret handshake.
Yeah. So for those who, if you don't know, Simone Biles decided to drop out of the Olympic competition yesterday.
The team competition.
Yes. And initially the statement that was made by the Olympics was like super vague, was that she was like dropping for an injury or an issue or something like that. And then she came out and was like, I'm dropping out for my own mental health. I know my head was not in the right spot, and I need to take care of that first and foremost. And I'm just so I'm really happy for her. I know that probably took so much guts to do, because people are always looking to. She's the best. She's the best.
She's literally the best.
Have ever done it. So I know it must be so hard to look at your team and be like, y'all, I can't, you know, that's so much pressure because.
But this is deeper. This also has to do with the doctor, right? That was on this team. Like,
that's
what
people are saying.
About,
I mean, I don't know that I haven't heard her say anything
well,
directly
she,
in reference
but,
to him.
But she's definitely an activist. And I think she has said like, I don't really care about bringing gold home for, like, the U.S. I'm here for black and brown women.
Yes,
like, I'm here
she did say
to
that.
Be that image of... And so I think that this is deeper than just, like... Like, she's... This woman has a backbone, man. She's, like... this is what it is. Like, yeah. I think she's, you know... She's doing something right now that I think is going to, like, live past her.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, you know, being a legend in this... And as a gymnast.
Like... oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
She was concerned that she's had some nagging injuries and she wasn't able to perform what she thinks was like her peak stuff, in the sense of like, if you are not feeling 100, both mentally and physically, and you're doing things like the vault, which is extremely dangerous, or the uneven bars, another extremely dangerous thing, that this is a lot different than doing like a 100 meter freestyle swim, right? That's not, there's not an extreme danger with the swim. It's just go balls out, right? And just go as hard as you can.
Yeah.
It's not, you can be stressed. I'm not saying you can't have anxiety before swimming or having depression or having a load of things that make you say, I'm not going to do this. I can't do this. I get that. I'm not saying you can't, but for something like gymnastics, that is not just all the pressure of all of the things, but also the danger element of it, that you feel like if you are not comfortable in that moment, you have to back out because you could literally kill yourself.
Yeah.
Right. So I think part of it added to that, where she wasn't feeling comfortable, And that's a huge red flag. And so I'm really glad she also said no to that as well, because the last thing you want her to do is break a bone or a, it's very sketchy. So I'm very proud of her. I'm very upset that, of course, the Olympics were delayed by the year, because this was a fear I had, was that this added year of extra pressure. Obviously, last year had so many stresses because of COVID, but I was afraid that this could happen to one of our favorite athletes, where you're getting, it's even more pressure. And she's even said that her favorite time of like her life in general is when she's not competing, her time off.
Yeah.
And what was she most looking forward to with the Olympics? Them being over.
Yeah.
I was also reading too that they're not necessarily like, I was reading some other stuff about how like the media is kind of spinning certain things one way, but they also have not, and correct me if I'm wrong, are publicly giving her points for some of her routines because of the level of difficulty. They're worried about other people being able to match her level of competition.
That's been an issue for a while. Concerned.
Yeah, but it's like, and she came, I was watching her talk about it, and that's just kind of ridiculous. If that is true, in fact, it is ridiculous, because it's like, so you're worried because she's great? I don't understand.
Yeah,
like,
so they're...
Like, isn't that literally the Olympics?
Yeah, I was reading about it a little bit before we hopped on, and it's just, it's that they kind of, they, not even kind of, they lowball her points. Right. And former like Olympic gold medalists have looked at it and been like, no, she should be getting much, much higher points. And the concern there is that, well, A, she was saying that like they don't, what Simone Biles has said is like they don't want her to be as far ahead of the other, they don't want the chasm to be as deep and wide as it actually is. Right. And the thing that some of the officials have said is that they don't want to rate the difficulty level too much higher, because they don't want other participants attempting these moves and potentially hurting themselves. So in order to maintain safety, they make it work a little less than it actually is, but that's crazy.
Right. No one's pulling a gun to your head and going, you have to be the best Olympic, like to be here. You chose this career to be here, to be able to compete for however long you're competing, to be able to come to the Olympics, to be able to go up there. But if you're not as good as Simone Biles, then try harder next year.
That's what the Olympics are literally for. And like, so I was reading this article where these other two previous Olympians, they were dudes, and they were saying like, they don't buy that justification. They were like, we do this knowing how dangerous the sport is. And if she is doing something on that level of danger and difficulty, then she deserves to be rated. And if anybody else attempts that and really seriously injures themselves, they could honestly seriously injure themselves trying to do anything. You know, like, that's just kind of the nature of what we do. And so the fact that you would lower her score in order to try and like, I don't know, make things a bit easier or more palatable or you know, for these other athletes is kind of going against what the whole, I don't know, culture of the thing is in the first place. So,
the spirit of the game.
Yes. Yeah.
I would say this too, though, that it really shows you how transformative of a legendary figure she is, where she is so superior that she is changing everything about the sport from scoring to what it means to be an athlete, to the fear that they have with others attempting to do what she can do. It's just, again, added pressure to her, right? As a competitor, where it's like, so now I've put myself in a position where I am attempting really difficult things that I don't think I can always land perfectly, because she's just
she's a human.
Doing her best, she's a human. But now they start to lower the score of that, which makes her less inclined to try to do something of that level potentially too. And that's not good either. But gymnastics may change for this, because if you look at sports like snowboarding and skateboarding, things that are come like a culture of like pushing yourself to do impossible, right? They really flourished in the Olympic spirit, where it's like, go for the big jumps, go for the big this, go for the big that. That's like their personality, and try to get the best. Don't make the sport be where it's like, just be safe and you can win that way.
Yeah.
Gymnastics kind of has been be perfect, but safe, right?
Yeah.
Land everything perfectly, and execution matters more than trying something new. But Simone's like blown that out of the water.
Yeah.
Where it's screw perfection, go for something massive. But meanwhile, Simone can do that perfectly.
And that's the thing.
That's the thing. And so she's so special with that. And she's already done all of that. She's done it.
Yeah.
She's planted that flag. And it's, of course, we all want to see her continue to be the best version of herself, both on the mat and also like in her own space. I'm very hopeful that she will be able to still compete for some individual things that she feels super confident in, but will back out of ones that maybe some events that she didn't want to do. Like maybe she'll back out of the all around.
Yeah.
Look, I don't feel comfortable on the vault. I'm not going to do the all around. Someone else from the world will have a chance to win that. But I really do think I can win the gold, or I feel confident in my floor routine. So I'm going to go for the gold of the individual event or whatever it is. Just take her space.
I also want Simone Biles to do exactly and only what Simone Biles feels like doing. because I was also reading an article and she was saying like this thing that I love, I just have this overwhelming feeling that I've started doing it for other people and no longer doing it for myself. And that, you know, that's heartbreaking. And as an artist, I think I can, you know, really identify with that. I can't imagine if my acting career started to feel like I was just doing it to appease other people and I wasn't having fun anymore. So I'm really stoked for her to have started this, you know, thing for herself this year to be like, okay, we've seen her back out of it once. Everybody survived. USA still, you know, placed, got silver, not gold, but still placed. Everybody's fine. Nobody died. So if she wants to, if she only wants to do the floor routine because that's where she has fun, if she doesn't want to do that at all because it's not where she has fun, you know, like, I don't think there has to, I honestly hope she doesn't even feel the need to justify it as much, you know, like, I don't want to is enough, girl. You have broken all the records. You have won so many gold medals and you're only 24 fucking years old. Like, that's the other thing is like, we put so much pressure on these Olympians and they're kids, you know, like she's a very, very young adult and who has been doing it since she was a teenager or, you know, even smaller, but I mean, on a professional level since she was a teenager. Right. And so like her reclaiming her time as a 24-year-old is super. I'm so excited for her, and I just hope that I was seeing Alaska sent me a thread where people were just like talking about how wonderful and how courageous her decision was, and one of them said protect Simone Biles at all costs, and I think that's the t-shirt, that's the phrase, that's the, like, I want everybody to just be like, yes girl, like whatever you decide to do, we're so team you. And honestly, after this year, you know what? I really feel like fuck the Olympics. And I feel like that's going to be hard. I mean, it's never going to go away. And, you know, for athletes, nor they probably wouldn't want it to. But I feel like the Olympics have been so problematic, probably for a long time, but like problematic and in our face and in a way that we're talking about now because of where we are in the world and who we are after the year 2020. Just problematic in a way that I don't know that people are going to stand for much anymore. So
not with this new cancel culture. They like to cancel any and everything.
Right. But I mean, the Olympics, it seems like can do for a good overhaul. Let's take a look at this. And thankfully it doesn't happen.
But I think that's a good thing. It's just like every other thing that, you know, I think is like kind of we have to unpack and say to them or hold everybody accountable, right? To like, you can't get away with this shit you got away with 10 years ago. So let's unpack that. And how can we how can you be supporting the athletes better? How can you, like, what is the Olympics ultimately about other than just like, we need a gold medal? Like that's what it always feels like, is it's just like people just are out there getting fucking medals, not for the athletes, but like the country. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It feels like so much more about like the country versus like the athletes about them. Because some people who are like big names, yeah, they get sponsorships and they get like great deals. But what about the people who just made it to the Olympics? Like who you don't even know their name, you know what I mean? They're doing, I don't know, like a sport no one's ever heard of or just got into the Olympics. What about those people? Massive. They spent a ton of money. They didn't do a ton of training just to be able to get there. And then, all right, have a good trip next year. Like you don't even hear from them again. It's like none of us could be in the fucking Olympics. You know how hard it is to train for that? Shit. I could maybe be in the Olympics for cooking eggs. That's it. But like, I will maybe do it. And I don't know. I'm going to submit it not next year. When's the next Olympics, Zach? 4 years
from now? 2024. And guess what city it's in?
Where?
Oh, I saw it the other day.
Paris?
Yeah. Well, next summer Olympics where the egg cooking could be in. But you know,
I feel like it could be.
Egg cooking is not a winter sport. It could be. But I feel like it's a summer sport.
It's a summer sport.
Wait, the Summer Olympics are in Paris?
Yeah, in 2024. Y'all want to go? I'm going.
I really want to go, actually.
Sure. I mean,
you guys got to go to the Olympics. Well, LA, obviously, 2028, much easier for all of us if we are all in LA in the next, what is that, 8 years or 7 years?
Oh, it's going to be in LA?
2028.
Oh, shit.
That's 7 years from now. But Paris is 2024, which is only 3 years away.
Yeah, I would love to go to Paris for the Olympics.
Can we do that?
Yeah. Let's do it.
But wait, I want to add one thing to the Olympic thing. So we talked about this, I feel like, last time too, but again, another like good reminder. You have the U.S. Olympic Committee, and then you have the International Olympic Committee. And the International Olympic Committee is not just American views and politics, right? You have China and Russia, two of the largest and most successful countries with regard to how they place in the games. Mm-hmm. That means that lots of stuff that happens has to go through their politics, okay? Mm-hmm. And don't forget that Russia has been caught cheating horrendously in Olympics. And their penalty was just not being able to fly their flag, but the athletes all could still compete. This is for a reason. It's because it, again, is international and it is supposed to be everyone can compete and everyone has a place and it's not based on anything other than that, but it's still very political, obviously, right? And the big players like China and Russia still get to make the rules often. That's right. Why there's no allowance for political protest. It's not because of what's happening in America and with civil rights issues in the US. It's because China doesn't want to recognize certain countries, right? So and the American Olympic Committee would never say, no, we can't, you guys can't take a knee or you can't do a protest because of, you know, civil rights, social justice issues in the US. It's literally because China and other countries are afraid of political protests against them and their governments. They're the ones who put the pressure, but they also have huge delegations and they have to make everybody happy. Because what countries can afford to host Olympics in the future? Only a few.
Right.
And one of them is China.
But I mean, that's so, I mean, talking about them lowering Simone's difficulty scores because of safety, it's so unsafe to set the precedent that all you get if you cheat, in an event, in an Olympic event, is that you can't fly your flag, but they can still compete. That's such a dangerous precedent to set, because if that's the case, I could decide, like, okay, I won't even bring my flag. That's fine. As long as we can keep cheating and I can keep winning. Like, I don't give a shit about the flag.
And then they sell you in media that that the Olympics is like so fair. Like it's so sold on this like holistic thing of it being like, everybody is treated equally and everybody is graded equally. And you're like, but we don't, obviously not.
And then then people like Sha'Carri who get caught.
Right.
With, you know, THC in her system, gets flagged and can't compete because of it.
THC in her system, when didn't they just say in the soccer team they were just like fucking putting THC and it's part of their like warm-up shit or whatever? Well,
CBD doesn't have THC in it.
Okay, whatever. It's all made from the same shit.
But the THC is the drug part, you know? Like, right, that's the part that makes it a drug.
It's so silly. It's so fucking silly. And like, let's be real here about her situation. She runs fast on weed. That's insane.
I know.
I eat and watch movies on weed.
If anything, we need to be elevating her difficulty level as well, because she's literally trying to slow herself down.
Give all the runners weed. See who wins. Who the fuck?
Like, literally, she can't slow down. It's like,
that's wild.
Actual she's marijuana like cannot slow flashed. Her down. Like, she's thank God for those other athletes that she was high. Like, she would have been so fast.
Yo, she was doing them a favor. Like, and honestly, still not.
Right. And I'm just over it. I'm just over the discounting of Black women in these Olympic games.
Right.
I'm over
Let's
it.
Not. We're, yeah.
Like, no. Russia can have it. Can we just have, can we do Black Whatever. Olympics next year?
Ooh, Black Olympics.
I would love Black Olympics.
Let's do Black Olympics. Dope. I support it. Yeah. I support it.
Well, the thing that's, I mean, most of the summer Olympians from America are people of color. Let's be honest. Like America is filled with mostly Black Americans competing.
Yeah. That's not in the, Simone Biles, most of her teammates were white.
But I'm saying most of the sports that we are like the best in, especially track and field, things like that. I mean, it is, but people.
Yeah, but the issue, the difference between this and Black Olympics that we're going to create is that we support the black fucking athletes.
Yeah, I was going to say, we don't.
The Olympics doesn't support black athletes. We don't,
for ways to disqualify them. I feel like they were, finding all the ways to disqualify them. And is that because they hate the U.S.? Probably.
Everybody hates us. We already knew that.
But, also, it's just, and the fact that.
I mean,
I just went down a really quick rabbit hole in my head of I got lost. I had to be get out of there.
I watched it happen. Yeah.
But it was just is everybody targeting us because we are the majority of the Olympians that are representing the U.S. probably, but also the U.S. isn't protecting us because we're black people and black people are not protected in the U.S. and also still expected to represent the U.S. and be the best of the best.
Which doesn't make sense. It makes me mad. Why are they representing a country that is fucking racist?
Because that's where they're from. Where else are they gonna represent?
Represent yourself. I'm here on behalf of me.
I mean, I wish that was an option.
I'm here on behalf of black people.
Team black people.
Period.
Do you guys follow soccer much at all? International soccer?
No.
No.
Oh, but all the racism in I did see that. People.
So there's a lot of. So, Casey, your rabbit hole you went down is not really a rabbit hole. It is the truth.
Yeah.
It is the truth. You are right. I do believe that. I don't know if it's necessarily it's not a U.S. Olympic Committee thing. It's an IOC thing because, again, you're dealing with China and Russia as your big power players that have to be appeased by the IOC. But, yes, you are 100% correct. In my opinion, you have a world in which a lot of the black athletes who are playing for the U.S. or who are British or other countries, they're dealing with extreme racism in their own countries that they're either from or that they're playing professionally in, right? Not all black people are American. I get that. So you have Nigerian soccer players. You have all sorts of African players all over the world playing in Italy, in the UK, but there's also national, you are a black British person playing for your home country and they're still dealing with horrific racism.
That's so trash, dude.
And it's not a small thing. We're talking, it's such a big thing that FIFA has campaigns and racism. They have new rules that if there is a racist or homophobic, which is also a huge issue, unfortunately, chant occurring during a game, they will pause the game and announce that if the chants do not end, the home team where the chants are coming from, right, will be disqualified from the game. And it actually happened, and I'd never seen it happen because most American, MLS doesn't have that happen anymore because American soccer fans tend to be very liberal and this whole thing, but USA versus Mexico, unfortunately, the Mexican fans, unfortunately, were very, very, they have a chant that is some of the more diehard subculture of Mexico fans were chanting and it was homophobic in its chant. It's like a song and they got warned and they almost had to be disqualified for that. And this just happens in that sport, which blows my mind.
I just love how anybody has anything to fucking say when you're not a goddamn Olympian athlete. If you can't get on the field and compete with the other soccer players on the field, shut your fucking face. I'm sorry, but what do you have anything to say? You're watching the shit.
But I mean,
you're a fan. You're not a fan. Stop.
Yeah.
You are a fan. Come on. It's ridiculous.
It's just really.
I can't stand people.
Super sad. It's super sad that especially in something that is so, it was always sad, even when, back in the day, black entertainers were, treated like shit backstage and didn't have hotels that they could stay in and couldn't enter in the front door. That was shitty. But at least they weren't representing Team USA or Team UK, while that was happening. They were being entertainers and representing themselves. And sometimes they could go to Europe and find other places where they were more accepted and treated better. Whereas this feels like I literally have to wear the place that hates me on my chest. And if I bring home a gold medal, then they'll cheer. But if, God forbid, if I don't, then I'm nigga trash. It's so,
this also comes back around. I can't help but attach it to my head of back into slavery when black people were bred for specifically bred to do manual labor of this country. And then how it kind of we're the most athletic. Like, it's just, you know what I mean? Like, it becomes that thing where it's like, oh, now, of course, you have to represent. I don't know. I can't help but, like, not see the connection in my brain. Like, it can't go away. You know what I mean? Where it's like, we're going to send our people, but not our people, right? We're going to send the people who are bred to do this the best way. You know what I mean? It's just.
Yeah. Also, like, bred to do these very, and I put air quotes, but I mean, it's honestly, I don't need to air quote it. Literally, that's what they were trying to do. Happened. They were like breaking us like animals.
Very true.
To do these very dangerous things because their bodies can withstand the trauma and the pain and the repeated, you know, traumas that one has to go through in order to be a good athlete in a lot of these events. And that's not, I mean, obviously there are plenty of non-Black athletes who have done it since then. But when you think about all of the ways, like when we were talking about the scientific differences, the reason that they were disqualifying those, was it two women who had too high of testosterone levels or whatever?
I mean,
when I think about the physical differences that they try to point out in order to exclude people of color now, I also like, it's hard to not make connections with science of like the science of natural selection over time, you know, like who was able to survive through all of that, through all of the trauma that their bodies were being put through. Did that then, you know, did science then do a natural selection thing and then start having higher levels of testosterone in order to survive, for the body to withstand the work that was being put on it? And then now to be punished for it, for like, it's just, if I think too hard about all the ways in which this country has fucked us up, is just, it gets really dark.
It's very sad. It gets dark. It does, because it is. There is generational trauma there, and it's, we all feel it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel it. I know that I feel it. Yeah. And it's like, everything that we look at in our systems feels like one way or another, there's racism, you know, flowing through those veins. I mean,
yeah.
How do you undo that? How do you unpack that? How do you have that conversation? How do you come to the table? How do you redesign this country? I don't know. Yeah. I honestly don't have the answers completely.
And I mean, and on the other end of that, sometimes I'm like, well, I hate how it happened, but I am thankful for who I am. I'm thankful for the things that it gave me. I'm thankful for, you know, the strength that I inherited, the emotional depth, but also while also being able to manage my life. I think about that a lot. Like when I see people like come apart when something is going on, I'm like, oh, that doesn't really register for me. Like something happens and of course I deal with it, but I have this understanding somewhere in my body that I do have other things that needs to, I don't have the luxury of coming apart.
I was just going to say to you, though, isn't that a bit of a privilege? This shit is like, okay, I have to tell this quick story. Tiff and I went, we had to find some stuff for this wedding that we're going to. So we went into this H&M and we were just like looking for shit. And there was a guy in there who wasn't wearing a mask, and this white man comes up to him and goes, "You need to put your mask on," and starts screaming at him in the middle of H&M, screaming, not like, "Oh, here, sir, maybe you didn't realize that we need to wear," like having that conversation, but it was like, "Fuck you, meet me outside."
Oh shit.
Literally a cash me outside situation. Right. Like, and like throwing a huge fit in the store. And I just looked at Tiff and I said, "The privilege."
Yeah.
Like, could you imagine? Like,
oh, what? You'd be instantly tackled and arrested.
What? This two security guards come, one of them's a Black woman, and she looks at every other person who's Black in the store, basically, while she's walking in, like, this is some shit.
Right.
And then the white dude who was yelling at this man, even though there's a security guard there, he walks out of the store, stands outside the store, and goes, "I'll be out here." Like, he just waits outside the store. And I just, like, could never. I don't know. I mean, like, maybe have a conversation with that guy about his mask. Yes, you should be wearing a mask because you're putting everybody else at risk and you're in here. And like, yeah, you should definitely be wearing one. Sure. However, I'm going to kick your ass. I can do whatever the fuck I want.
Can you imagine?
In the middle of the store? Are you what? What are we?
I was like, can you imagine? Can you imagine acting that way in a store? We talked about this a little bit when we were talking about the Victoria's Secret woman who had the meltdown.
Right, and I'm feisty. right? Like, what?
And like, I'm like, girl, I cannot imagine screaming at somebody in the middle of a store and then falling out and then chasing right. them and then trying to hit them. I would have been arrested the moment I raised my voice. Like, right. the moment it looked like I was about to be like, ah, I would have been gone out of there completely. So yeah, it's really interesting. It's really, really interesting. All of the different, the ways in which, I don't know, we're different. And that privilege changes you.
Yeah. Cause it's not a thought. You know what I mean? It's not a thought in that situation to be like, and now I'm going to throw a fit. And now I'm going to fight that man. And I don't really give a fuck.
Yeah.
It's not, there is a lot to fucks to give when you're a person of color. You're like, now hold up.
Yeah.
What's going to happen to me? Like, you actually have to think about
exactly.
that.
Exactly. It's like, I value my future and my life. So I'm going
right,
to chill.
Right.
Anyway. That was a great discussion though. I'm happy we did that. But we wanted to talk a little bit about where we want to go. Do we want to go Supreme Court justices or do we want to go 1-6 committee?
Oof. Both are such bummers, man.
I know. I mean, I know we were having a very uplifting conversation before, but
can we just hit justices real fast? Because I think committee's going to take a minute longer. Why don't we just hit justices real quick? Just get a all around opinion situation going and then.
Okay. Yeah. Give us some context and then we'll
kick the ball as the Olympians. No. Okay. Never mind. Fuck it.
Fuck the Olympics.
Fuck them. Not the athletes.
No,
the Olympics.
Not the athletes. Love you, athletes.
I don't want you guys to misconstrue what we're saying here.
Appreciate you so much. And as long as you want there to be an Olympics, I'm for it. But the moment you decide you don't want that shit, call me.
Black Olympics.
Black Olympics. And it's going to be fun. You know, like our medals are going to be. What should the medal be?
We should work on this, though.
Ooh, I got distracted because I started thinking about the food that would be at the after party at the Black Olympics.
The food would be fire.
The food would be fire.
So you don't have to worry about that. Everyone's fed. Everyone gets a plate. Everyone gets a medal. Fuck it. Like the people who win get a big medal, but everybody gets one.
Yeah. Everybody.
We're gonna pop Warner this shit. You participated. You get a medal.
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. And like, I want Beyonce to present the medals, and I want her to be like in like ultra Houston, ultra Black Beyonce mode. Like, I want her grill in. Like, you know, I want her like little fangs in.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
Absolutely. And then maybe she presents you with a grill. I don't know. You know, like, we can talk about it.
Ooh.
We can talk about it. Anyway.
Oh, my God. This is why we need Paige. What the fuck? What just happened?
Supreme Court justice thing. I mean, I think our big topic for that was that, you know, is there, you know, term limits in general? We've talked about before and how important they may be or may not be. I think we've all kind of agreed that term limits are important. They serve a very important part of our democracy. Yet we don't have very many term limits, and especially we have no term limits when it comes to our senators, which seems crazy, our Congress people, which seems crazy. And also we don't have term limits for
judges.
They can
get away with this shit because the Normal Persons Act doesn't know about any of it.
Yeah.
No one knows. No one knows until the next thing you know, that law's passed. And then you're like, how the fuck did that happen? And you're like, filibuster, filibuster, filibuster. Okay, cool. I don't know. Like, what?
Think about this. You can say what you want about George Washington. I know not all the... Historically, we've come to like be far more critical of the founding fathers as we should
be. Fuck George Washington.
But as far as politically,
we
can say George Washington did realize that like if he didn't step down at some point, you would just have a monarchy again. You'd have a person that could be the president forever. And he recognized that the democracy is not one that's being held power forever. However, of course, the Senate and Congress were like, yo, we can be in power forever.
Yeah.
Bringing it back to the justices real fast, I believe that they should have a time limit. I'm sorry. I think there should be a certain amount of years you can serve depending on who joined at this age and someone joined at that age. I feel like they should have a certain amount of time that they can be there. And then that's your cutoff time. Like, good, thank you so much. And we're going to move on because we are learning and growing in this country. We have different generations and different things and people think differently and we want different stuff. And so we should have people who are growing with that be justices as well versus having some. And this was the New York Times dragged Ginsburg a little bit, which it's like, don't.
Yeah, like,
but
don't
also
do that.
Like, what? hold on, she's a legend, but also they had a point for what they were saying, which is what I wanted to mention on here, was that they were saying that when Barack Obama was president, she had the opportunity, she had the option to retire at 80, and because, and Barack Obama was going to replace her with a very liberal Democratic option for a justice, but she chose not to do that. And so now they're saying because of that, you know, there were consequences in a sense, because she passed away and her last, you know, the last thing she said was, don't replace me with you know, with somebody, like, wait until the next liberal president, basically is what she meant, to replace who, you know, comes in after me. And unfortunately, you know, she was replaced by a very conservative person. Yeah. And so they're looking at the, it's like, if everybody retired at 80, would there be more of an option for, you know, bringing in new.
Why are we giving them till 80? What 80-year-old do I want making law?
But, you know, a lot of these justices, you know, they were saying in here too, and this is coming up because, Zach, you have to mention the name of the justice that they're talking about in the article. There's a specific one that they're asking whether he's going to retire or not. But these people feel like, I don't owe any party anything. I don't owe it to the Republicans, and I don't owe anything to the Democrats to retire for anybody. I'm a justice. So, like, that makes me the law. That makes me in the middle. That makes me, like, not have to be like, oh, I'm going to retire so you can put someone liberal, or I'm going to retire so you can put someone conservative. Like, they choose, they think that that's not okay, which I understand.
In theory, understand if the rest of the country worked that way, then yeah, I think it's a great thought.
Yes, right.
But that's not reality.
That's not reality.
That's a liberal fallacy. That's the liberal fallacy, the moderate fallacy, because the Republican Party does not work that way at all.
No,
absolutely, I'll retire so you can bring in. Not to mention, we actually know for a fact that actually happened, where one of the justices retired on Trump's watch, so they could bring in a young Kavanaugh, right, who was in his young 50s, to get him. And we know that happened. We know that this guy Kavanaugh clerked for him, and there's a whole bunch of potential scandal that went down on the whole Kavanaugh thing. So it also looks partisan. So there's so many both sides to this that you have to be ruthless when it comes to politics, and the Democrats are not, and that's why we're in the position that we're in.
And, you know, these justices, they hold a lot of fucking power, dude. They wield a lot of power. They get a lot of attention. It's a great place to feel and be when you're in that.
I feel like justices,
and everybody stands and everyone's clapping for them. It's like, ooh, they give me a justice. It's like, yeah, but you also, like, need to do your job well.
I feel like there should be an age requirement. Mm-hmm. I think justices should be able to serve from age 35 to 65. And after that, you're done.
I think that's fair.
Wait, 35? That young?
Yeah.
For justice?
Yeah. Because I think about people like AOC. I would trust her to be a Supreme Court justice. You know, like somebody like that. I think having...
Can we actually get her to do that? Who got her email? Paige?
Right? Paige, help. Paige. But, like, I do think that you need youthful minds in there as well. And I say 35 because that's enough time for you to, like, have gone through some life and gone through law school and gone, you know, like, you will have done the things, but you will also still be...
Figure it out what you want to do.
I know. But, like, you will still be in touch with the time that is to come as much as you know, the time that you grew up in. As well as having some justices that are in their 60s who can come with that. Like, I think that's just a better range of, like, not too far in the past, but wise, and then not too young, but young.
Well, not to be sexist, but I think women should have 35 and men should be like 50. They do a lot of damage. I'm just saying.
They can't come in until 50. Do they still have to leave at 65?
Yes. You got 15 years. Figure it out.
That's hilarious. Honestly, I'm
okay.
That was mean, and I don't take it back. I'm sorry.
The youngest Supreme Court justice ever is was Clarence Thomas. He was 43.
Okay.
Apparently there is no the Constitution does not have a qualification for age, education, profession, or even native born citizenship for the Supreme Court.
Wow.
So anyone can be there. However,
Casey,
you have to
you
get
you guys need to go for
votes.
It, both of you.
How do I get the votes?
You please,
don't
you guys
have
go in.
The votes. You don't have the votes.
No. You'll get
you
the votes.
Approval, and you don't have the votes.
And the wins. Well, you should also be a justice too.
Yeah.
You guys, there was a 32-year-old Woo! Back in the day.
Oh, dope.
And the oldest was a 65-year-old.
The oldest to be appointed? Like he was appointed at 65?
Like their first, yeah, yeah.
So yeah, that's my age out. Like, no, he couldn't have been, no. He would have.
That's it, right? That's it.
I think 80 feels like the for sure the last, like, I think that's a great cutoff.
80 is too old.
I think 88 is
way too old.
I don't want people to think like Ruth Bader Ginsburg, ageist either, though. But there is a thing, I feel like there's just a lot of change between 35, say, right, and 80. Like, that's a lot of stuff that has happened.
That is, yeah, no,
and
that's
you
not
did, me and you served to your say time.
That,
great.
Yes, absolutely. You had your time. And that's not me saying that if you're 80, you don't necessarily have the presence of mind or, like, look at Bernie Sanders. He's, you know, going to be kicking ass and taking names until he's 100.
He will always.
But at the same time, I just don't think it's fair for somebody who is 80 years old to be making laws for people who are 18. You know, like, it's going to be their world. Like, realistically, you have less time left on this earth.
right.
And so leave it to the people who are going to have to deal with it.
But also, Casey, what you're saying too is, you know, say it gets changed to 35 to 65 is what you said, right?
Yeah.
So then you have people retiring at 65 with new people coming in. So you have a mixed board across the, you know, justices who are different age groups.
Yeah. Which I think is great.
Which is so good. You know, I think it's great.
Well, get me in the room to rewrite the Constitution. I'm ready. I'm ready to rewrite the Constitution. Let's do it.
Absolutely.
Well, that may not get you enough votes to win this because you're supposed to say that I'm ready to uphold the Constitution.
No, I'm ready to rewrite it. I don't want to uphold that.
Don't rain on our parade, Liz.
I'm not going to uphold what's currently there. That's crazy. That's a document that's way too old and that we should have done away with. I know. I shouldn't even be in the room if we're still, you know,
right,
what
the
fuck? Document. But I...
No. That's not true, Casey. If you look at the Constitution and the way it is written and you actually look at it correctly... You absolutely should be in the room, but when it's used from a white supremacist viewpoint, it can reject you.
But it was written by white supremacists.
I know, but technically the Constitution is not isolating people out, but it's been used to isolate people out. So I think the newer readings of the Constitution, especially with people like Ruth Bader Ginsburg and others, Elena Kagan, et cetera.
I disagree. I have questions. Are you referring to amendments or are you referring to the interpretation of the language.
No, amendments. Oh, okay. Amendments and interpretation of language has been used more recently to support the freedoms of everybody.
Sure, there were amendments
people of
added
color
to
and people who, yeah,
give me some
yeah.
rights.
So I'm saying,
yeah,
I'm
but
saying
the that, argument on whether the people who wrote it actually had people of color in mind.
No, they didn't. They didn't.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they didn't write it for us. They owned people. So
I understand
like,
that, but I'm saying the more recent reviews of the Constitution and the amendments are allowing, which is totally correct, the inclusion of all people.
Yeah, but they don't really uphold that in our country either. There's a lot of crookedy ass shit happening in our country all the time where they're not really protecting or upholding anything lawfully towards people.
Women still don't really have full rights to their own bodies. You know, like it's stuff like that needs to change.
Well, but I'm saying that but what I'm getting at is when you read the opinions of the Supreme Court that are about things like Roe v. Wade and about gay marriage, things like that are huge points in our society where they're using literally the Constitution as the document for which they are making their opinions. It's fascinating how they are taking a document that we just said wasn't written for certain groups of people and applying its actual verbiage to say, no, it is applying to them today. And which is amazing. And that's the kind of mind that is currently being used on the liberal side of saying, well, we can still be pro American democracy and use documents that were not intended in the original to be a certain way, but ensure that they are being fairly applied because the amendments that do exist should be applied to all.
But they're not always fairly. I don't know. I have a hard time agreeing completely with that. And that's just the truth because I just feel like there's a lot of shit where people of color specifically are not like, that's not, it depends on who I guess is using the law for that or using this verbiage, but that it hasn't always happened. If that was the case, then you would have a lot of different situations happening for people of color in specific neighborhoods and police brutality and things like that. It's like, where is that? We're not included in everything, but sometimes we're included. Roe v. Wade. Okay. But I don't know. It's like you can't choose, and you shouldn't be able to choose.
That's
like
what I was going to say. Like, I see. Yes. Across the board. I see what you're saying, Zach, and I do think, and I'm thankful that we have, you know, lawyers and lawmakers who are able to interpret the language in such a way that it's more inclusive. However, I think that in rewriting a constitution, we should leave less space for it to be misinterpreted. I think we should blatantly include a lot more things. I think we should give a lot more rights to individuals. And when I say this, I'm specifically thinking of women and all of the crazy abortion right things that have been able to be passed, just taking away women's power to choose. Things like that, where a woman has the power over her own body and not the state that she is in. I think that there's plenty of things like that. And unfortunately, I don't have a law degree to go down all of them, but just I've remembered. And again, I'll say everybody should watch What the Constitution Means to Me. I still think it's on Amazon. But she presents one of the best and most cohesive art pieces on how outdated and ridiculous the Constitution is, as a person who has memorized and loves the Constitution. So I don't know. It's something that I don't think will happen, but if somebody gave me a shot, I'd do it.
I support it.
I would trust you.
Oh, thanks.
I would absolutely 100% trust you.
Thank you so much. I feel like we should wrap up.
We didn't get into the other thing. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's fine.
Next week. Enough, next week. Enough. That's a whole on
episode. We'll enough, enough, enough. And more will have happened by next week too, anyway. Mm-hmm. Let's leave on something that, something that we love. We haven't done that one in a while. Tell me about something you love. They're thinking. They're thinking. Oh, I usually go first, don't I?
If you got something, go ahead.
Well, this one's very present because I'm going to one today. I love vineyards. Like, I am so excited to wake up on a vineyard tomorrow morning and just read a book of poetry. Bought a new book of poetry, by the way, called Black Girl Call Home. And it is so beautiful. I need to look up who the author is. It's so good. I'm going to find it for you guys right now. But yeah, I love when I have my druthers, which is not necessarily often because I tend to be busy. I love just waking up and like reading some poetry and feeling the sun. And there's no better place, in my opinion, to do that than a vineyard. Black Girl Call Home by Jasmine Manns. So far, it's so beautiful. I think I cried. I got 3 pages in before crying. She interprets.
That sounds lovely.
I mean, Black women just have a language, you know? Like, it's just like certain stuff that like you get as a Black woman. Like, she says one line and I'm like, oh, you get me.
Right.
And it's just so beautiful to feel so seen by that. So anyway, that's something I love. I just rambled a lot. Somebody else's
You thing. Should put that on can we get that on our Insta or like on in our next newsletter or something?
The book?
That book?
Yeah.
Put that out there more. I'll also look at it myself.
Yeah. Who's next?
Yeah, that'd be great. Zach? Because I'm still thinking.
I've said kind of the same things every time for what I love. Well, I'm very grateful and thankful for having these weeks off from making this film. I love making this movie, but I've been very grateful to wake up and be able to take time for myself and find some peace in that and be with my wife and talk to my family. Of course, see y'all. It's been great. So I'm just, this summer has been very weird, but also I'm just very, very happy to be working and to be doing something extremely creative with my time that has a huge opportunity for my future. So I'm just very grateful for that. And for everyone that's been working on the movie, I'm just so grateful to them for giving their time during this really unique, you know, and trying experience that we're all going through. So I love them as well. So.
Great. Love that. And did you say you have a week off?
Well, we're filming Friday, Saturday, and Sundays. So that means that during the rest of the time, we're not shooting. So I'm able to like get some rest and.
You just mean the normal time in between. Yeah. In between. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Ooh, hello. The dog is jumping into the car. Hey, that's enough.
Yeah.
I was going to say I love her, but also.
Is that Penny?
Hold on. It's Ella.
Ella. Ella girl.
All right, let me wrap up here. I was thinking about this, and I'm going to say I love myself, because you know what? I don't do enough self-love.
Yes!
And so I don't, like, this is the thing, is, like, that's a really hard thing for me to, like, actually say out loud. It's weird. And I'm going to say I love myself, but I also, like, love the inside, and as my life coach calls it, the little motherfucker, the critic who, like, tells you all the negative shit. Yeah, I love that little motherfucker, too, just to be able to, like, because that little motherfucker inside of you doesn't always give you love. And so... like I'm learning these things right now. So loving yourself, putting some love on my own self, as I'm working through a lot of stuff right now. So yeah, love yourselves, give yourselves hugs, tell yourselves that you love you. Love you. There you go.
I love that so much. So much. Shout out to life coaching. Congrats on starting that.
Yeah. It's been a really, it's been a big life change for me. The woman that I'm working with is just like, you know, cut from the same cloth, very like kindred, and it makes a lot of sense that the universe kind of dropped her into my space. And she talks a lot about holding space, so it's just like really cool. I'm like learning a lot about myself, and like learning how reactionary I am, and like how I have to kind of like drop into being grounded in places, and it's just been really eye-opening for me.
I'm so excited for you, friend. That's amazing.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. And love yourself. I want to just mention one more time that, like, I feel like we don't always choose ourselves when we think of love. We think of, like, many other things, but we don't always think of ourselves. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you only have one vessel and you only have one life, so you better love on it. You know what I mean?
Like,
you gotta love on it.
You better come through with this sermon at the end of our podcast today. I love it.
I need a fan.
It's so good. Yes, you do.
And I need your tambourine.
Yes! Yes! I got you. I'll be on tambourines. amazing. I love that. That was such a good note to end on. That made me feel so good. So thank you guys for listening. This has been another episode of Justice and Juice. And as usual, like, comment, subscribe, rate, and share. Bow, bow, bow.
Yeah.
Do it.
Do it.
Do it.
Do it.
And love on yourself.
And go drop Paige a comment on her. Everyone go DM Paige right now.
Yeah, DM Paige and tell her that.
Everybody DM her.
I know. All of you slide into our DMs and just be like, never leave again. This was chaos.
I have no idea what the fuck I just learned.
I'm
not really sure
I'm not really sure what they talked about, but they did a lot of talking really fast. Thanks for listening, y'all. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.